All right, friends, we are back for your favorite podcast show of the week. This is Location Weekly. It's episode number 644, and we are recording on November the 8th. It's been a busy week. We did not have a show last week as we were down at Rito Loco in Atlanta, which will be the focus of today's show, kind of a bit of a debrief and catch up on what we learned and what we saw. And so Aubriana's gonna has the week off again, but Karsten, who was with me in Atlanta, is joining us today. And good to see you, Karsten. How are you?
Oh, thank you very much. It was just great being with you guys here last week in Atlanta. So in that beautiful Nobu Hotel. So we teamed up with Simon Property Group, and they have on site this Nobu Hotel. We learned a lot about how they run their operations on site in the Phipps Plaza, which is a shopping mall there, and which is very interesting because they have two shopping malls at least at 500 meters across the street. So one is Lenox, the other one is Phipps Plaza. So that was great, reconnect with all the people. So that was amazing. And this is also I want to talk with you about, because your experience of the last week is maybe different from mine, because we had several different conversations over the 3-4 days, at least 2 days conference, but day before, day after, partners were flying in and out. So that was a great experience. So let me ask you about the outcome from your side. So what is the really exciting thing you learned in that 2 days in the conference in terms of news about the industry or technologies?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I mean, we had some interesting presentations and keynotes from some pretty wide range of brands, from the restaurant side to retail to agency. So it was interesting to hear the diversity in topics. But I think, you know, one thing that kind of stuck in my mind as an interesting technology, kind of post-COVID pandemic technology, in the presentation from Mood Media was a reference to a company called Freosk. So Freosk is a kind of modernized way to do product sampling in grocery and mass merchandise. And so it was very interesting to see. I mean, in the old days, you would walk into a grocery store, there would be somebody standing there, you know, offering you to try the new flavor of Oreo cookie, and you have a taste of that, and if you like it, maybe you buy the, you know, a package of Oreos and what have you. But now, you know, a lot of that has gone away because of COVID and not touching things and whatnot. And so out of COVID came this company called Freosk, which is basically a kiosk, a vending machine of sorts. And you go up to this, you enter your email address, where you scan a QR code. So they collect some information, which is already an improvement over the old method. They have some way to collect information. And then in return for your information, you get the product sample. So, you know, the pumpkin spice Oreo or whatever it is that they're offering, maybe with a coupon that comes out as well, you know, to buy a package of those. So I thought that was kind of interesting just to hear about the growth and quick adoption of that kind of technology. I think more on the sort of location data side of things, I think the general theme being that, you know, the sort of loss of, sort of one-to-one ID data that's being driven by Apple and Google security changes, and how everybody in the industry is kind of adapting to audience-based targeting now, or cohort-based targeting, I think was reinforced both in the conversations with Placer and Ground Truth and, many of the others that were there. So yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. Was there anything about this, overall topics through all these talks? Because we had a lot of topics about my speeches about technology, also about data, so how we interact with customers and potential visitors of locations. So, but is there an overall topic always you can saw last week, which is just affecting our industry?
I think it's the topic that I'm kind of, I think, ties it all together is, interestingly for me, going back to the early days of the LBMA in 2009, this idea of what is location-based marketing, you know, this intersection of, as we defined it, people, places, and media. And I think what we're seeing now you know, and we've seen this throughout, but I think especially right now, it's very clear that it doesn't matter where the, you know, the sort of consumer or the target, you know, audience is that we want to reach. We need to understand what media we have, you know, available to us in that place that we can use to engage them, right? So be it navigation systems like you talked about, you know, a way to engage them through, you know, their phone or mobile or the app, you know, be it, you know, digital signage and digital media networks, signage networks that we're seeing, you know, in stores and things like that, be it Friosk vending machines, be it whatever. I think that's the theme. The theme is where are they? What can we put in front of them? What's the method to reach them in that place? And that makes it location-based marketing. And I think so for me, it's really cool because the original message we set out way back in 2009 is still true today.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to my next point. So it was the second show in Atlanta after we had this break about the COVID thing, you remember? And so is there anything which is just a major improvement in this year or any differences from last year to this year's show?
I think, I mean, in terms of the size of the show and getting people coming back in person, you know, it was relatively about the same. From last year to this year, I think the sort of seeking of knowledge and hunger for how to do things different was a little much stronger this year. The content was even stronger this year in terms of the speakers and presentations that we had and the brands that participated, you know, having Kroger there, having Home Depot there, having Racetrack, having, you know, agencies like Digitas, you know, all sharing, you know, their insights, I think was super valuable. And then, you know, having Patrick, who, you know, we did a little interview with that you'll hear from later at the end of the show, you know, Patrick Flanagan from Simon Properties, talk about their strategy, you know, at a mall level, or multiple malls across the US, I think was super interesting. So I think for me, the content was very strong.
Yeah. Well, it brings me to the point about the quality of the attendees. So I see a huge difference from the past before COVID, where we have this bigger audience is 150, 250 people, depends on the events we were making or producing. So it's no more. It's about 100 people, 120, whatever, over the 2 days. So on site, 60, 70, always in the room, more or less, but super high quality. So as you mentioned before, when you have as a vendor the chance, or we as an LBMA, the chance to speak directly on eye level with these kind of positions, and also, yeah, what are your thoughts on from your side on this? Because this is my feeling right now. If I'm seeing the North American shows now for 7-8 years,
yeah, I think it's about quality. It's about, you know, high level people in a room together. You know, having a chance to have 1-to-1 conversations with everybody. Right. The difference is, you know, you can go to NRF, which we will be in NRF in January in New York, Beans. And you'll have tens of thousands of people there. You know, but unless, as you know, with shows like that, unless you know, take time in advance, plan out who's going to be there, book meetings in advance, all that kind of stuff, it can actually be quite a waste of time to be at a show like NRF. Whereas with a very small, intimate show like we have, you have high quality brands, you have high quality, you know, vendors, and you have an opportunity to actually connect 1-to-1 with everybody and have real conversations that you can follow up on and, you know, structure pilots, maybe even in some cases get deals, you know, executed, you know, while you're at the show. So I think it's very good that way. And I think that's, you know, something that we can continue to build on.
Yeah. Well, brings me to the point that it's not about just the content we're delivering in that panel discussions and keynote. It's the whole thing around. So if I'm remembering, so Speaker Stinger, for example, that was just stunning. So we have been in this beautiful Nobu Hotel. Thanks again to Patrick to get this lead into that hotel because they own the property. This is what I learned. So the real estate part is more or less owned by some property. Correct me if I'm wrong. And so it's operated by Nobu Hotels. So comes to the speakers dinner, this kind of conversations I had there and this quality of food, it's not about the conference. It's this side events too. So we have speakers dinner, we have drinks at the evening. We have this kind of well, behind the scenes tour at the Simon Plaza, so at the Phipps Plaza, so Christmas was decorated. So Steve from running a what is that called? So we don't have that in Europe, but it's Santa.
Take your photo with Santa Claus. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what are your thoughts on that? So because it's not just the event.
Yeah, I think it's the whole experience, right? It's how it's the package of how you curate and put together opportunities for, you know, multiple interactions and touch points over a few days that you build friendships, you build relationships. It's not just, hey, a business acquaintance, I met somebody and, you know, I found them on LinkedIn and that's it. Like, you know, by being together in a small group over a few days, dinners, you know, going out outside of dinners, you know, spending time, you know, in mall tours, these kinds of things, you know, you're actually kind of building friendships, you're building connections with people that can last forever, right? And like, I'll give you a personal example. So one of the panels, we had a restaurant industry panel that was put together by the International Food and Beverage Technology Association. And Lauren, who came and moderated that, Lauren Selman, in the room was a guy named, one of the attendees was a guy named Jeffrey Kingman. And we all met like literally like 8 years ago at a restaurant conference where I was speaking. And that's how we met. And we hadn't seen each other almost in the room together since that time. And yet, you know, we were able to recall like what we did back then and where we had dinner and these kinds of things. These are the memories that they were pulling out. You know, and I think that's the kind of thing that we can create, you know, in a retail local experience.
Yeah. And honestly, we're all getting a bit older. So, it's very senior now in terms of positions and people are there. So maybe yes. This is also the path we're following. Maybe that's the truth in life at the end of the day, but, having this senior positions in one room and have the opportunity to connect to each other. And you mentioned Home Depot, where this keynote was just brilliant. So just going back to that, so how they run their operations and what they see in the future and what they already do was just super impressive.
Yeah, I think the Home Depot thing in particular, I think the one part, I mean, the whole presentation was amazing, but I think the thing that really struck me in his opening remarks was Home Depot senior leadership, senior management has, he said that, you know, they've really put a lot of value on data science within the organization. And the people like himself and others within the data science team are being elevated, are being promoted into very leadership positions within Home Depot because they value so much, you know, the power of data and AI and, you know, what it can do to transform their business. And I think that was really interesting to see because, you know, when we work in our fields, you know, we work with data all the time, right? And, you know, we know data scientists are a hot commodity, but to see them really putting a that much value on it where they say, okay, like, you know, maybe one day, you know, the CEO of Home Depot will be a data scientist, you know, that like, that's how he was talking and how much he was saying that, you know, Home Depot values data science. So I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah. So it's matching with what the Kruger guys were telling us about their strategies and what they were fighting with still. So it comes back to data points on a shelf level, on a product level, which is still to figure out how to, get rid of these old industry codes and industry standards into the new world by using AI in the future. So that was just, this is my connecting dot too.
Yeah.
All right. So just last question. When you just see back the conversations, what will that be guiding us into the future? So we saw now, okay, after COVID, it's coming better, back again, more quality-wise, more strategic-wise. But for us as an industry association, I think the question is very interesting to think about is where this guides us. What is the next thing we have to face?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, if we project even just 1 year from now, you know, we're expecting at least in North America, big changes on the privacy side. You know, the US government is looking at legislation now to be similar to GDPR. So this will change a lot of things for a lot of companies in the location data space. You know, for example, we saw many of the early pioneers in that space when Europe, you know, implemented GDPR had to, you know, withdraw completely from the European market, you know, because their models weren't designed to operate in that way. So I think this will cause some shakeup in the industry again, but this time in North America. I think another thing that, you know, we're starting to see in, as far as trending right now, I would say is just like we saw, driven by COVID, a resurgence of the QR code. It's everywhere now again. It was gone before COVID. I think for me, beacons are coming back again. We're starting to see a little bit more movement in that space in a different way, more powerful, less power, a smaller footprint. So, you know, we're seeing a kind of a drive around there, that space. I think a huge movement, you know, evidenced by, you know, what you were talking about, as well as what Nathan from the VR AR Association was talking about around, you know, where AR and VR and, you know, gamification and, you know, the applications of these, you know, glasses, you know, are going to mean for us, because I think we're not quite mainstream yet, but I think it's coming. I think, you know, we're going to see more and more of that. I think, you know, maybe not this Christmas, but next Christmas, you know, people will be buying headsets for, you know, for people, you know, if the price points can come down, you know, to a reasonable area. So I think this will drive some adoption, you know, very quickly around that. And then I think the other thing is on the analytics side, you know, there's a ton of movement there. But I think it has to be more than location, right? I think what has to happen is, how do we take location data, combine it with census data, transaction payment data, credit card data, you know, anything really that we can get our hands on that gives us some window or view into the consumer and what they're doing and their behavior. And if we can kind of start to blend those things together, I think you're going to see a lot of things happen. So, you know, I'll give you a personal example from the ground level side. You know, we're starting to think about, you know, and this idea came to me originally from Retail Loco in Munich. And I, you know, because it's getting harder and harder to, you know, have ad ID data to track, you know, where people are going. So when you have less of that, you know, how you have to ask the question, how do we find other ways to understand who's in a place? And for me, it means, you know, you have to start turning to sensors that are already in place that can count how many people are there, or you have to start turning to navigation systems that can tell you how many people are using that, or, you know, walking around a place, or you start looking at things like mobile wallet passes, you know, because if somebody's scanning a, you know, a boarding pass, that means they're there in the place, that's a visit. Like, we, you know, these are proxies. And so I think that, you know, we can start to look at these things, because it's moving more away from ad targeting and more towards, you know, behavioral analysis. And I think this is a big trend that we're going to see next year.
Yep. All right.
Okay. So I think, you know, that's a good sort of wrap up of what we saw at Retail Local last week. Maybe Karsten, you can kind of share a little bit about what we have coming up in the next, you know, months, you know, first 6 months of the year and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So, yeah, as we're in the middle of the planning of 2024, so we already set it our first two quarters, which started with the NRF event. So traditional wise, we are there as an LBMA, but next year we will be a bit more presence having there. So we are right now figuring out if we have a presence on site with the LBMA and also with one of our partner members. And so we will have for sure an evening event taking place on the 15th of January 15th in New York City. It will be in a comedy club, so we will have there our Best Retail Cases Awards North America. It's the second edition then. So if you have a case you submitted, please on the website bestretailcases.com, our initiative started during COVID just to showcase real installations in retail technology. technology. It doesn't matter if it's online or offline technologies or your vendor of that. So bring your case here. We will celebrate the evening together. We will have also some keynotes from our partners and just wrap up about the NRF show so far. Yeah, that brings me directly to Munich, February 6th. So we'll have Retail Loco in Munich again together with the Airport of Munich. So co-hosted by the Airport of Munich. Super happy to announce that. So everything is signed. Everything is set up. Same location like last year. So everybody can find it. You know, it's a bit of interesting because it's in the logistics area of the airport, where they have their cybersecurity center and things like that. So super, super cool location. Just heads up on this. So if you have a topic to submit or you want to speak there, it'll be one of our partners because, as mentioned, the events are only as good as our partners are to finance that, like the Airport of Munich, Simon Malls, Ground Truth, Spacer, Swarmony, you name it. And those people helps us dramatically to make this events happen. Yeah. So, and then we are back in North America at the Mall of America. The date was, Asif?
April 23rd and 24th.
Yeah. So here we go. So three events just planned and a lot of travels. You can find all this information on our brand new events calendar at the website. So yeah, there you can list also your events. If you have a partner event and you're with the LBMA since long time, just submit it to us for myself, a short notification, and we put that on the calendar. If it's just a meeting, a booth, whatever you have, just to make it visible where our industry is. So there are different sections. Love to have that. I personally heading to Dubai first time next week. So this week I'm flying down from Toronto to Dubai to the Dubai Air Show. Super happy about that. So if you're around the Dubai Air Show, just let me know and we will have a coffee or whatever on site. So super happy to that. So yeah, this is a wrap up on our events activities.
Yeah, and it's a good point you make about the you know, the air show. So outside of the formal LBMA events that Carson mentioned at NRF, at Retail Loco in Munich, and then Retail Loco at Mall of America in April, obviously, you know, we have lots of other things going on, you know, with our own companies, our own startups. So we're always at other conferences as well. So, you know, reach out to us. You know, you never know where we might be. For example, I will be at CES as well before NRF in Las Vegas. So anybody who's going to CES, you know, just ping me on LinkedIn. Happy to have a coffee or connect there. You know, I'm sure, you know, some of us might be at Mobile World Congress at things like that, you know, throughout the year. So, you know, we're always happy to connect with people in person, you know, that are part of the networking community. So I think that's kind of it as far as kind of the Retail Loco part. You know, we'll end right now. We'll flip over to a interview that we did during Retail Loco with Patrick Flanagan, who's the chief digital officer for Simon Properties, Simon Malls. And you can hear from him about his experience at Retail Loco and why he was part of that. And
yeah, hey, I'm Patrick Flanagan. I work with Simon and I'm super excited to be here at Retail Loco Atlanta, being hosted here at Phipps Plaza.
All right. So what's the biggest outcome of the last 2 days?
Probably just to get inspiration on just all the different ways location marketing is coming to life across a variety of industries.
All right, great. So are you planning to attend next time?
Absolutely, yeah. We look forward to continuing our participation.
Great. Thank you very much. That's all.
Yeah, easy enough.